honorable members of the portfolio committee and our legal advisors from parliament and the director general of the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, and the PLO Sari. Good morning and welcome. I'm advised that it would be better if we start now because we may have a long day and we've advised the secretary to organize lunch for us so that we can stay put at least up to 20 to 3 or 10 to 3 for parliament. But that all depends on our pace. The first thing, even before we go to apologies, we need to have the following documents. What is called the bill, the original bill. The bill in which in some sections we have made some amendments in terms of either formulation or specific words. The lawyers will continue to advise us on that one. The second document is called A List. It's called B35-2015. Now, it's titled Proposed Amendments to Foreign Service Bill. You can just put A List there. Proposed Amendments to Foreign Service Bill. Those are the principal documents that are going to guide us as we execute work on the bill. And with that, most welcome. Let me indicate that a lot of thinking and hard work and interactions between ourselves and the outfit called CREDA has been going on from last week to assist us. Those are the guys who finalized the bill. Just about the commas, correct English, what you would call legislative compliance, if you like. So that work has been going apace while we were discussing the bill. So we don't expect many problems. And last week also we had a lot of discussions around the process of the bill. Not many changes have been effected. Those that you're going to find there are those that came in from your good selves. So it is very possible that it could be done earlier than 2 o'clock. Now, let's receive the apologies that must be accepted.
Thank you, Chair. I received one apology from Honorable Makala, but he's out of the country. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On our way.
Chair, I thought because I've seen in one of the emails our secretary was for that one that thank you so much, Chair, and good morning, colleague. Honorable Minister Sisulu, Honorable Minister Landas and Mahaule, and I think that she is coming now, but the two Minister and Deputy Landas won't be able to attend due to other departmental work. Secondly, Honorable Maila, she's got a personal pressing matter that she's attending to. She will join the meeting slightly late. Thank you, Chair.
So it's Mukhalapa, it's Maila, and then?
And the DM, Landas and the Minister.
Good. department, can you speak for your member?
Chairperson, Minister is in Russia. Minister Landa is attending to the President of Germany.
Mario, Minister Russia.
Is in Moscow. Attending ITEC.
Oh, the we have for them.
Oh.
And Minister Landa is with. Who is this German visitor? I saw the flag.
It's German president. No. The president from Germany.
And then Lennart, German president. And then just the Honorable Rapporteur.
Chair, and Mam Kenya, we request to be released between 1 and 20 minutes. At least 20 minutes for electoral amendment bill. Electoral amendment bill.
Between 1 and
20 minutes. But
between 12 and?
Between 1 and half 1. Yes, sir. Yeah.
And section. You know what you could do?
Lunch.
During that time, you could take lunch. Yeah. Because the advice I got from Parliament was that for the members who alternate, whenever there's a bill, you attend to the committee where there's a bill and give the one where you are dealing with the minutes. And if we're dealing with the minutes this side, you go to the one where you are dealing with the bill, something like that. So that members take full ownership of the process they will present.
Yes. To
talk about matters that members are fighting on. Deputy Minister, most welcome. Honourable Bergman, I see that you are Clinton Venturi, whatever there is, most welcome.
What about
members? Who
people
commented this class?
No, not commented this class.
Now we are on item number 3. Can I draw your attention to the document called Proposed Amendments to Foreign Service Bill, page 8, under title, long title. Called Proposed Amendments to Foreign Service Bill. At the end of page 8, just below 4. Now, perhaps I must read the title to you. Now, we've said this will be the long title of the bill. To provide for the management, administration, accountability and functioning of a professional foreign service of the Republic of South Africa, to provide for the operational requirements that are suitable and supportive of the operations of the foreign service in a global environment, and to provide for matters incidental there to close quotes. That's the formulation that constitutes our long title. And I would like to hear members whether we are agreed to this.
So, Chairperson, just for clarity, which document are we working off today?
It's entitled Proposed Amendments to Foreign Service Bill, also called A-List.
I don't have A-List.
Oh, sorry. That's why I was saying today we were
one. This is my last
Are we all fine now?
Yes.
Madam Kalyan, are you now fine document-wise? I've just read the long title, I would like to hear members on the long title. Since it starts again and again.
Yeah.
Now I must get a hand, and I must get a second, and I must ask whether this is Honorable Raputi.
Yeah, Chairperson. With the long title, where I'm in an agreement, I endorse the long title. ANC support.
You propose that we adopt?
That we adopt.
Honorable Kalyan.
I'm
waiting for the publicity to start. Only you and me will know what we're talking about. Which means we are aging.
If I can just be protected from.
Now, honourable members, we, honourable Lekota and the content advisor, we have just read the long title on page 8 of the A list, and two members have proposed for an adoption. Honorable Raputi was seconded by Honorable Kalia. And I would like to determine that the long title is so adopted. Thank you very much. Then we must now go back to page 2. There on page 2 under clause 1.
Yes.
Or I skip arrangements, right? On the same page. On page 8. What about the arrangements? We must follow the sequence 1, 2, 3, 4, up to 8. On page 2 after line 5.
Yes, you
Yeah, the advice I'm getting is that under arrangements of sections, same page, page 8, where we were reading the long title. Now, there were rearrangements that were made there. And then there is page 2 after line 5, that must insert two under application of this act, and then there is two, there is three, there is four, there is five, there is six, there is seven, there is eight. But I must hear you per line.
No, only for that question.
Apologies, I must have missed the explanation about the assets from changing to immovable assets. When we deliberated over the issues, one of the concerns... one of the concerns was some of our missions have, let's say, priceless paintings that could be worth more than movable property, worth more than normal assets, immovable assets. How is this going to deal with that? Because in Namibia, we have an issue where title deeds were handed over, where people took title deeds, and other such treasures such as priceless art, etc. How does this, by changing the word to movable, how does that change that whole, wherein would we be able to capture that, an ambassador would not be able to take a painting that was maybe given by someone that made it more expensive than the property itself.
Thank you. I thought that here we're merely talking about the arrangement of sections. The sections that we have referred to, which is 1 up to 8. And I wanted us to adopt that. Then, as we proceed, then you can come back to that, because it's part of this.
Yes, I mean, point two of that.
Yes.
That's point two.
Maybe let's hear
that. We're not there yet.
Are you covered on the government?
Sorry, Chair, I think my honourable learned colleague is missing a point. On point two, we're not talking about the range, we're actually talking about changing the heading. So it's changing from assets to immovable assets, thereby it's now becoming a very concentrated difference.
For now, these are the arrangements that are there to the extent that we were discussing. We'll come back to the substantive discussion just to agree that these are the arrangements. And then after that, we'll come to that specific matter and spend whatever time. You can, in the same way that you were saying.
Okay.
Yeah. But can I hear you on the arrangements of sections? On Abdahma?
No, then I agree.
Thank you very much. Then arrangement of sections. Honorable Kerfman. Seconded by Honorable Lissoma.
Oh, my apologies, that I missed the second on the low title. What would I put to move?
The second on the long title was Raputi, was the mover, Kalyan was the second. It's very important. And on the arrangements of sections, it's under Bergman and the song. Okay. Ulandelani from here.
Georgian, so you turn the page.
Page 2.
Let's go to page 2 now.
I'm done.
Now, Bergman, that's where you should come up here later. can I hear you on acquire? On page 2 after line 19, we said we'll insert the following definition. Should I read it?
Yeah.
we said acquire means in relation to an immovable asset, means acquisition through construction, purchase, lease, acceptance of a gift outside the Republic, or by any other lawful means for use by the Foreign Service. Honorable Kenya.
I move for adoption.
I will pass Honorable
Oh no, sorry, what Mr. Blackman was talking about this, this only three.
We are coming.
We are still coming.
Okay, good. That's it.
Adopt too much.
Can you
give us advice? The issues here are these processes that must be followed, and they are quite yeah, because legally you must follow certain processes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the process now says that you go to clause one and you read all the amendments, and then you request members whether they agreed, are they agreed to as amended. Then you seek for removal and a second, and then you go to the next question. We do not adopt each in session. We adopt the entire clause as a whole. Yes.
The entire clause, which is called clause one.
Clause one, yes.
And all of the things written under clause
must
one.
Yes, must be adopted. Yes, sir.
Okay. Is everybody letter? I've never needed you this much. are we together now?
Yeah.
Because there are all of these things that are posted under clause one on page two. Before we have page three, we're under new clause. Can I hear you on this part? Honorable
Mpumlwana. I just wanted to find out, maybe it refers to only to immovables. It doesn't refer to movables. Yeah. Are you on, is it only on immovables?
Lawyer? I thought maybe if you can answer. I thought that clause one refers to all of the things that we had amended, all of them as they are. Now the advice I'm getting is that we must adopt all of clause one. They want to hear whether we are still agreed to that.
Oh, and,
yeah. Lama proposed amendments or changes. Agabu clause one.
Which is definition of the old definition?
No. I understand that. I thought that we are now going point by point in clause one. In other words,
I'm not adopting clause one.
I am commenting. Okay. I'm commenting. I think there's work going down also, that the government is also going to comment. And then when we finish, then there is an adoption. This is what I said.
Just
to explain before the chair, just to explain probably chair through your good stuff, the legal
advisors and the writers will ask you that. The question is that, are you going to only to acquire immovable assets? What about movable assets, like your antique pictures and all those things? So we're saying that, how do we accommodate that? Thank you, Chair. Just a clarity on that one. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, thanks.
And again, would be then under the headings and not under the definitions, because the definitions have covered it. It's on the headings then. But I think we could find an arrangement. The easiest way is just to add a simple clause when we get to clause nine. When we get it, we can just add something that says that any article over a certain value, and it's, we could maybe put a number to that value, that would then also be under the rules of the movable assets. So we could put a price of, let's say, $1 million or... So what I'm saying is that to try and not be too disruptive, what we can do is leave the heading. And then when we get to the actual clause, it's just add something that states that any asset worth a certain value, and maybe we could, you know, I'll leave it to the legal beagles on how to word it with the least amount of disruption, that any asset over a certain value would have to fall under the same requirements. So that's, you know, it just doesn't, that no one can just walk off with an asset that says worth over $2 million or $3 million, if they don't just walk off with it, let's say a painting or something, but it's protected. So if we change definitions and that, you're going to cause a disruption. If we just look at the heading itself and maybe just insert something in within the clause, we can actually save that disruption, but still cover the issue.
There's part is there, and then those who are going to assist us to answer is to determine whether, when we're talking about assets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes you say immovable, sometimes you say asset.
Mm.
Some may understand it to mean assets are both movable and immovable,
mm-hmm.
and these are the assets in the mission. But Honorable Rahman's contention is that if you are specific about the asset, you say immovable, you are likely to exclude the movable one. And then, yeah, but those who are going to assist us to answer. Deputy Minister.
Yeah, thank you. Chair, I think that's all.
I can sabotage.
I understood it as such that here we are defining how to, especially immovable assets acquired. That this definition explains that how they are acquired. But when coming to the clause itself, that when we have to make that distinction of immovable assets, but here we agree that immovable assets, they are acquired in such a way that they through construction, purchase, lease, etc. Then we agree that we'll come with the second one of immovable.
On our
report,
and now the lawyers must come in.
I'm just wondering whether when
the thing is not working, the thing.
Yeah.
Sorry,
on a point of order, it must work because for purposes of
network. It's working. Hello.
Recharge.
I'm just wondering whether the movable assets, whether they are not placed on a catalogue Because you know, if you put a picture on the wall, it doesn't tell you that it was so many millions. The only way you are going to know it if you are in a mission is if you register items from a certain value and you put them, you catalog them, and the catalog is kept in a safe. So maybe we do need to be able to say something like all items in the catalog of value, in the value of all items that are in the catalog. Because if you have that determination of the value, all of those that are above it will be on the, or to be on the catalog. If there's no mark on them, you can know that the only way to determine is to go to the catalog and check whether if an item is on the catalog. Yeah, then you know that it is an item that cannot just be moved. Now somebody who, like the Director General, who knows what do they do with items that are worth above $1 million, or to throw some light on that, I think.
Anav Dudley.
For me, the question here is just in terms of the section, do we call it livable assets or do we call it assets?
Mm-hmm.
So then we can worry about the other stuff. If we're calling it assets,
then
we can come to the finer details. But I think if we just take out the immovable, then it's restricting us.
No.
I think now I'm covered because this thing is clear. It's talking to immovable assets. And that was the main problem that we're having. Buildings and so on. We're not concerned about immovable assets. I mean the movable assets, because that is obvious. Like we go to computers, we go to pictures, we go to all those things. They are automatic part of what is. So I don't think that we are bothered here, because right through we're dealing with immovable assets. We never started on the movable. So this bill is really concentrating mainly on the problems related to immovable. So I think I don't think we need to bother about that. That is the question.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm covered by the DM as far as that is concerned. I think I'm covered there. Because then it in relation to immovable assets, acquire in relation to immovable assets means it. So the definition is related to, in this instance, when we talk about acquire, because the minister may acquire the immovable assets. We are dealing with immovable assets as far as that is concerned. So I'm covered here.
Mm-hmm. Well, that month you can come back now.
Chair, I'm trying to cause the least amount of disruption to exactly what Honourable Daddy says. If you take out the word immovable, and then I listen to the my learned colleague again speak about the fact that the thread is all about immovable property. However, when we were in deliberations, and Advocate Steenkamp was in full agreement, the first thing that took place, the example is, if you go to the speaker cellar downstairs,
mm-hmm.
there's a champagne given by the president to Tata Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
That champagne on the auction can fetch 5 million rand, okay? Now, if I'm the ambassador in Brussels, and I take that beautiful portrait given by the king, and there's no legislation, even Guillaume does not tell me that I can't take it, because let's say it's a gift. I'm gifted that as the ambassador. I'm walking off with a 10 million rand painting, and there's nothing that tells me that I cannot walk off with that 10 million rand painting. So if you can satisfy my mind that it's covered under Guillaume and does not have to be covered here, I'm happy with that, I can move on. But if you can't satisfy me, that's, cause that's not theft, that's a gift.
and all hands down. I'm going to comment because I also seek clarity. I have some sympathy with the view that Arnold Bachmann is expressing. And the reason is that in the mission, you have immovable assets, the things and that and that. And then you've got this portrait, and then you've got computers and other things. If you look at some of the qualifications that were granted to the department, it was on movable assets. Because what the agency does, they just visit missions, etc., etc., and say, yeah, well, we saw the asset register. This table has this registered there. But sometimes they find that there is an immovable asset. It's not in the asset register. That's an immovable one. Then sometimes they look at the movable assets. Some are in the asset register, some are not. Now, what we saw in Namibia, because he is trying to look at that experience, we found that there are movable assets that were dumped into some building there. And please, the lawyers guide me. Will it be a sin if we say acquire in relation to an immovable and movable assets in that line, so that you cater for all in this line? Yeah.
I think also I wanted to get some clarity on immovable and movable. However, because here is the DG, let the DG also try to explain, because asset is an asset, whether immovable or movable.
Okay.
So if you can make a distinction in that regard.
Honorable Mpumlwana, followed by Kalia, who will clarify after you've heard all of us and our contestants. You want to come back? Yes. No. He is on the floor, Mpumlwana.
He's on the floor
it's Mpumlwana, it's Kalian, it's Dudley. Then is the DG. And the contract advisor.
Can I talk?
Yeah.
We, as I say, the bill talks about immovable assets. If people want us to start and talk about guiding on the movable assets, that's a different category. Because it's not only his expensive things you talk about. When you talk about movable assets, you may also talk about tables, computers, other things. Keys, tablespoons, and so on. So all movable. Car, whatever. Now, we are now talking about immovable assets. The whole bill is around the problem of movable assets. Immovable. Now, we are now starting a new thing. When I look at the bill that was there initially introduced, it talks about immovable assets. Nothing in it that was told to Parliament had movable assets. If we are now introducing something new, we may, I'm not sure, I don't say we shouldn't, but I'm saying we are now coming to a new thing, what dealing with immovable assets as well. But the immovable assets are assets which there is an asset register that talks about them as well. But that is not related to the immovable assets. So in this bill, when we talk about acquire, we are dealing with immovable assets. If you want, because it says in relation to immovable assets, acquire in relation to movable assets means it. And then when we are in the clause talking about acquire, minister may acquire. This it talks up to that. That's my problem, is that now we're introducing something completely new. We are now want to govern immovable assets, including plate, teaspoon, and all of it. And I'm not sure if the bill wanted to do that.
Honorable Kalia.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's it's not mature to make a comment that we are now want to be counting the spoons, cups and plates. Since the bill was introduced, matters evolved and it came to the attention of the committee that, for example, paintings were given away to assistants to who then sold it and who then got value for it, and the person who gifted it themselves didn't know the value of it. Now, the reality is we are talking about movable assets which have a significant monetary value, which belong to the mission. And even if it's gifted to an ambassador, it's not gifted in his personal capacity. It's gifted to the mission. It's gifted to the position. It must remain in the embassy when he or she comes back. So I think that is the distinction. Having looked at Clause 8, Clause 8 doesn't talk to movables at all. We said when we come to Clause 8, I would thought we would come to this. So I would like to propose that we are saying acquire in relation to immovable assets.
All right.
And or movable assets which have a significant monetary value. Alternatively, leave out the word immovable. And then we go into the details in Clause 8. We don't want to count the serviette, spoons, plates and cups, but we want to count things that are of significant monetary value.
Yeah, pack it there. Certainly.
What we're actually saying is immutable assets and assets over
the high. Can you speak to the mic? Accounting policy.
What we're actually saying is immovable assets and assets over a specified value. Therefore, we should just say. Isn't anybody listening?
Sorry. Let's hear you out.
I'm saying what we're actually saying is immovable assets and assets over a specified value. So we should just say.
Because
that's what we
say. The DG and the contract and still want to come back and advise us. So you want all of these comments.
Sure.
Then they will just in.
So they got it.
Then we were going to have the DG.
Thank you, Honorable Chairman.
You must
honorable members. We should have invited, I think, our advocate.
Honorable Lekwata, does you keep his business card every time you die? I don't know what. I'm worried.
No, I have to be accurate. You know, you can't
for the attention. DG, you're on the floor.
The matter. I just wanted to comment that our understanding is that if we cross-reference with the PFMA, PFMA talks about three things, real. Revenue, expenditure, assets and liabilities, which are currently accounted for by accounting officers. All acquisition disposal is taken care of. My belief is that we are not intending to legislate on top of what is already legislated for. Hence, because of this immovable assets, is related to the custodianship that public works is known for, and what you are doing, you are deferring these powers to the Minister of International Relations for use of these for the Foreign Service. That's why it is correct to say immovable assets. Within movable assets, we have tangible and intangible, and there are including the heritage assets that you are referring to. Our qualification based on assets is something else that says we cannot verify correctly an asset on the floor, trace it back to the register, or an asset in the register that cannot be traced to the floor. And that is the problem we have. We however cannot dispose of, we cannot acquire immovable property. And this legislation is intended to address that, as Honorable Bumlan has indicated. Therefore, our view is that I thought I should speak before the lawyers, but they will put it better than I do. But my understanding of this legislation as dealing with this aspect, it is in no way substituting what the PFMA is currently doing. We can acquire, it has already been conferred to us to do that. So that we are doing it wrong is another thing, or that makes us to qualify is another thing, and it is already taken care of. We got it wrong, then we will be qualified, etc. However, when it comes to the immovable asset, we don't have anything to do with. We incur fruitless expenditure because there is nothing we can do about it, because it is not within the power of the minister to deal with that. And hence we were happy with how the committee has actually even qualified it. The original bill had assets, but referring to immovable assets. And through the committee's wisdom, it was appropriately so designated to deal with particular matter. And in relation to relevant legislation, the GIAMA, which deals with immovable assets. All other movables, be it tangible or intangible, the modified case standard system will even indicate that why the heritage assets need to be classified the way they are, etc., which is what we had problems about. I just wanted to clarify here that the PFMA deals with the rest of the other things that we have.
Content advisor, you were in the list. I'm recognizing you now.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Sir President. I fully agree with what the DG has explained and the bill is concentrating on immovable assets. Hence, the definition was changed by the committee. It was effected during deliberation to say that clause is referring to immovable assets. So the word assets was removed by the committee and replaced with immovable assets. The real issue in the bill, Chairperson, is to give power to the minister to be able to acquire and also manage and be a custodian of immovable property assets in the nation. So this bill is all about immovable. And I would also further advise Chairperson that the committee perhaps should be concentrating on whether the definition as they appear there are what, you know, they are clear and they relate to what was discussed. Because if now is a discussion on the content, we will not be able to adopt this clause 1. Because the intention is to say, do you agree with this definition? Does it reflect what you wanted to say, immovable asset to mean? I think the committee perhaps should concentrate on that. On actually the actual definition itself, for now. Thank you, Chair.
You said somebody. No, you can't come back now. No. They are on the floor now. Who said to us going to come? The lawyer this side.
Thank you, BG. Chair, I think the DG text as adequately explained how assets are being dealt with under the PFMI and the procurement policy of government, and we do not want to deviate from that. Just to reflect on the actual proposal that's on the table for the inclusion of a particular wording to refer to assets of a certain value. This clause refers to the actual clause on 9 on removable assets, and that deals with the disposal or the acquisition or whatever of properties in terms of existing legislation, the Kiama and so on. That legislation only deals with immovable assets. So to create that element here, I would think would make it very difficult to implement. And also, you know, if we say about a certain amount of money, again, as time progresses, there will be some type of, somebody will have to determine what is value of there. So from a department's viewpoint, if we change the definition here, it will not be, then we will have to do major surgery on clause 9, because that clause deals with, in terms of legislation, that only, like Yama, only deals with immovable assets and not more other assets. Thank you.
Now, let's hear Arnold Bachmann whether he is not persuaded.
Sure, I just want to say, as long as your PFMA cover it, that was the original question. I was just saying that if you could tell me that we're covered in Guillaume, then I'm fine. And it was never about acquisition, it's always about disposal. That the minister has that power. That's, I think, Guillaume, then let's carry on. And then, because I am covered on that definition, it would be removable assets. It would be confined to removable assets. I'm happy with the answer.
Okay. Can I now hear you on acquire? This many we still stay with this. We are fine. Can I hear you?
Chair, I agree. Let's move to the second draft. Thank you so much. Then I dropped all holistic.
And the second?
Second.
Okay.
No, it's not that top sheet. Just say you are correct.
Go to unclose one.
Yeah,
on the first definition.
On acquire.
Is there anything arising? Level plus one. On our Kenya.
Chairperson, on clause one, I'm looking at 925, number 5 and 6.
Looking at
the bill itself, when you say an employee means a person appointed to the department or to any other national department in terms of the Public Service Act 1994, Ordination 103, Office 94, then you say there you must remove including. You must remove line 25.
Of the original bill.
Of this one. Then I'm looking at the original bill now. I'm reading from the original bill now.
But we must have that clause yet. It's still on number 3.
I will not see on clause 1. I'm going to go one by one.
Clause 1, we did acquire. We're looking now at the training unit. Am I behind? Yes.
I don't know. I'm still on clause 1. That's why I'm saying I'm looking at clause 1, number 5 and 6. I don't know what I was going to say.
Maybe the mistake I have made was the question I've asked whether on all of this host of things under clause 1, is there any matter arising?
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself means people could refer to 4 or 2. Right? And then maybe then I might methodically say we are done with 1,
yes,
and then 2, and then so on and so on. All of the things that are under plus 1. Then you can come in like a room for any 5.
2.
two were fine. Fine. Line 22. She's on the floor.
Yeah.
She's on the floor.
So clearly,
on two.
Yeah. No. On floor one. I'm thinking about floor one. Clearly, she's saying.
You go back to acquire.
No. No. I'm just saying. If we say we're going one by one, then to my understanding, I thought that if we can do it, it's a matter that is close one, so that everyone can choose. Hey, you want? Otherwise, we we'll spend the time looking it line by line. Thank you. But is that my
position? I will really get messed up. The first thing I said earlier on, and perhaps you must appreciate which we did not sleep over this work that is before us, was whether we can adopt it plus one to the extent things that are returned the way they are returned. And then Honor Beckman was talking about immovable assets that after a long discussion, then we said, no, this acquire is a very specific acquire, and it refers to this, and we were settled for that. Now, I then said, any matter arising. Then if I said, I say any matter arising, people could keep nine. No,
just. Can you appeal to Mr. Kumbra, please? He is speaking whilst you are talking.
Yeah. Now,
you love it.
Oh, comrade, okay. Yeah. Then comes back, says, perhaps it is not necessary that under clause one, we say number one, number two, number three, number five. Because I thought that instead of drawing your attention to anything here, then let's look at one, two, three, four. Anything covered under clause one, all of these changes that work. So it's up to us. So it's up to us. So that's the clarity she sought.
I'd like to respond to that briefly, if I may.
Honorable Dakota.
Chair, the documents are before us. If you draw our attention to number one, if I think any one of the things I'd like to raise a query about, I do. Not that you take us through one, two, like that all the way. If you draw us to attention to number two, you give us a minute or something to look whether there's anything. Or if the committee, if the law advisors want to draw our attention to a specific issue, we look at that. Then we go to number three. Otherwise, we'll spend the whole day until five.
Is that agreed to? Now that it is agreed to, then You need to come back on our Kenya to 4 and 5 as you wait.
Yes.
To 5 and 6 as well. Kalyan. Kalyan, no.
Once you come after that.
Oh, Manje, you can't come after that. Kenya, come in. You can't understand that before even she spoke.
Thank you, Honorable Dakota. What I say, Chairperson, number 5 and number 6 on line 25. When I look at the old bill, yes, we said that we must omit including before members. If we remove including before members, looking at the old bill on page one, on the bill, on page one.
The old bill?
Yeah, on the bill. On our current bill. Under employee.
Which bill?
Original feeling.
Yeah.
Page?
Page one.
What heading?
On definition.
Okay.
Then we say you remove including. It doesn't make sense, because if you remove including, it means that you are supposed also to say that before members. You say that before members, let's omit only including. Therefore, if we say you remove including, I don't see us keeping the members of the foreign service. Especially that also we say in the same line that we must remove contemplated in section 2. And when you say remove contemplated in section 2, also. If we remove, also we say on number 6 also, we say we remove on after section. To omit contemplated in section 2. Now to me, it doesn't make sense. Maybe why don't you remove, we make a full stop after 1994 close market. That remove all the sentences that talks to including members of the foreign service contemplated in section 2. Because to my understanding, or if you want to include something that talks to foreign, to formulate something else, therefore, on this sentence.
To my understanding,
I think if you remove the word including, you must really remove all those of that sentence, especially that you are also going to remove contemplating in section 2. It means that the whole, you are only left now with members of the foreign service. So it doesn't make sense then.
This discussion that I captured here were agreed to by the committee last week that we must remove including some of this last week in the committee. And unfortunately, your good self and the Honorable were not here. So the clarity is quite in order, and I saw that Advocate Kivek wants to come in and contend that as a party. But also Kalyan, when I said don't raise the hand until Kenya has finished, you still want to come back or give them to clarify? All I'm saying is that we discussed
it. I still want to come back. I only want to come back on the fact that if you delete the word including, it doesn't make grammatical sense. That's all I'm saying. I wanted to support Honorable Kenya.
Okay. Advocate Kibet.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, indeed, that is correct. We also picked up that problem, and thanks to the committee to highlight that. The word including must be come out, and we must have inserted the word and, because it refers to persons appointed to the department, those who be under the public service, other departments under the public service, and then also members of the foreign service that might be on contract. So this there must be the word and it will not, it doesn't make sense without.
including thanks must be striked and the word add must be added.
Yeah.
And then if I could just go also to add contemplated in section two, I think the committee has decided to take out as contemplated in section two because the term foreign service does not only deal with contemplated, it also refers outside section two, other places in the bill. It's also, so we just, I think the committee just had that in mind to say then we can delete contemplated in section two because the foreign service means the foreign service of the Republic, wherever though that term appears in this policy. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. It's up in English. Under into the last line. And it includes members. How does it sound like, legally speaking, that it includes members of the foreign service, full stop. And I'm reading the last line on page 2 at the bottom, Chair. Page 2 at the bottom. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Dudley.
Chair, in English it reads fine. It's the list, and at the end of that list is end. So you've listed an end, if you didn't put the end there, it's the list. So you don't need including, you don't need end, but end is usually the last thing you say at the end of a list. So in English it's perfectly fine in that sense.
No, that's what I was saying.
Now, what formulation are we settling for after... Because I thought advocate the vet was...
It should be a whole line.
That's what she said, and. And.
It should appear, yeah. And. And, for instance.
We remove, including, we put and.
No.
I actually support...
I
think including is more appropriate there.
But
it means a person. We are meaning a person appointed by the department, including those that are
involved.
Who are we referring to? It says we are referring to by an employee, including people employed, appointed to this department or to any other national department, including those that are outside, like those that are locally recruited members. So that's what I'm talking about. By employee, I'm including those. Not only those that are in the department, not only those that are from other departments, but I'm including those that are in the process, that is locally perhaps recruited members as well, who are not there in any of these definitions, but now I'm including them as well.
Probably legally including would not be a problem, but in terms of just how you would express yourself in English, you don't need to say including because it infers that that was an excluded group and now you're including it. And it wasn't an excluded group, it's one of the lists. It's only equal footing with the other thing. So it actually makes clearer sense if we just say and in part of the list. Including makes it some special other category that shouldn't be in but now is in. So,
and the exactly right. On the court, and then advocate to Rex and the Williams must come back and tell us what the last formulation you think should be. Because it was discussed last week, and then now clarity has been sought, and then you're saying perhaps including should be reinstated.
The quarter
come in and then
but I'm really ready just to suggest that we stay with the proposal of Mrs. Kanye and make it read very simple.
What is it?
And members of the foreign service.
Okay.
And
advocate Williams.
thank you. See if I can just take this a bit into, I think they started at item number 5, but we go back to item number 4 before that. He proposed an amendment, and if you look at the green bill, it will now read, if you look at, if you consider 4, 5, and 6 together, it will read, employee means a person appointed to the department or to any other national department.
Wait, I want to be where you are.
Okay. In the people chief, the people will show how it will read with the amendment of 4, 5, and 6 incorporation.
The one that's
the other legislation. Yeah. The one that's so, the one that's the people. It's your power to read that all those amendments are effective. So we will actually read as employee a person appointed to the department or to any other national department in terms of the Public Service Act, Common 1994, Proclamation 103 of 1994. Or any other legislation, and includes members of the private service.
Yes.
No.
Remember.
Remember.
Okay, can I get your attention? If you are assisting us to refresh our memory about what we talked about last week, draw our attention to a page in the document. Because I have 3 pages before me.
Okay.
Manja, umuwanza to ifunda nje wedwa.
Of
which document?
Okay, my apologies.
So that everybody, the intervention could actually have covered up. That's fine.
I apologize.
No, I'm going to
thank you.
Okay, and then any other thing on clause 1 up to 16 on page 3? Any other thing?
Hi. Sorry, I am looking at the arrangement in terms of alphabet on that
page.
I am now on, I don't know which is which. This is B and A. Okay. In other words, I must look at D35 as well as B35A. We are on D35A, referring to D35. I am saying that
which part?
If you look at if you look at B35 on B35, no?
Mm-hmm.
Which is the original B, you have got the director general on top of the 4th department, which is the DE.
Mm-hmm.
And you have inserting in the movable assets, where are we?
Kumran, are you talking about immovable assets or about the director general?
No, I am talking about alphabetics. point. I say here you've got Director General before you get to department. It's a DI before you get to D A B C D E.
Are you noting that? Director General and department.
Thank you, we've got this. We will align all the definitions in alphabetical order, so we can all the definitions. There are other definitions also which we've identified. So we align all the definitions.
Your intervention is fine now. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Any other thing? Okay then. What is your guidance now? Now that Utlos 1 says Begile, can I hear you on adoption of Clause 1, Honorable Song?
May I check? Thank you. Finally, I hope we're not going to go back because there were no hands. I move for the adoption of Clause 1. Check.
Is there any second on a problem?
Yes, I said.
Any second? Now we go to new clause. It's on page 3. Are we there? We see the document? Hello, can you? Yeah, let's have a look on the new clause on page 3.
Oh, okay.
Then it says on page 3 after line 26 to insert the following new clause after clause 1. And renumber the existing clause 2 as clause 3 and the subsequent clauses accordingly. And the new clause is the application of act. Oh, by the way, when I said the act or an act, I was first of act. Application of act then subject to the provisions of this act. I'm trying to read the application. Subject to the provisions of this act, the conditions of service of members of the Foreign Service must be governed by the law governing that employee's conditions of service. Two, where this act conflicts with the provisions of the Public Service Act 1994, Proclamation Number 103 of 1994, or any other legislation, and it is not possible to read the conflicting provisions as complementary to one another, this act must prevail. That's what we said.
Mm. That's what we said.
Yeah.
Last week. And I don't want to go back to history, but if I go to that Honorable Mashabela, just kind of, to Ubuti. Now here you have a foreign service and you draw in people from Home Affairs, Nahu. Then they are in the foreign, they are part of the foreign service. In the mission. Now, when I arrive at any other thing, the person goes, yeah, but when I came here, you remember I was in Home Affairs, you remember I was in PTI, etc., etc. When any other conflict, for the purpose of this legislation, who's a supplier, the Foreign Service Act, which is now the Foreign Service Bill for now. That is what this was saying. Okay, this act shall prevail over the other.
I think if I understand it correctly, I just want clarification.
Yeah.
If I understand it correctly, it means that you have a contract with Pakistan. and then you are asked to go to the Corinthians. Your terms and conditions will remain, unless those terms and conditions are contrary to this act. Therefore, this act in that case will be forbidden.
Now we
understand
that. Is that you want to comment further?
No, I want to move, Chair, that we adopted the new job sector, right?
The move that we adopt the new clauses, right?
Second
moved by Honorable Soma, seconded by Honorable Bergman, and third by Honorable Tati.
Is that
you happy?
Deputy Minister, one of your responsibilities, executive responsibilities, is to protect the chair.
But we cannot, we have no
finance. It is the middle of two big men.
He can handle it.
I'm saying, you please tell me, but you see him. He's
silent, but you see him. Not two on the same page.
We are
let's come back now. Okay, let's make progress as we're making. Clause 2 is 1 up to 7. And those are the things that were said there. Is there any clarity thing sort or any matter arising? I need to have just finished in your class to ensure the application of the act. It's clause 2.
On the same one. Under foreign service. Now changes to 3.
Under foreign service, which is now 3.
There you are, members. They were assisting me here.
Okay.
On Mashabela.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I just want to assist you. Because my understanding is that the committee has agreed about everything here. And the purpose of this meeting today is to approve, adopt clause by clause of the bill itself. Let us just do this. Otherwise, you are going to leave here next week.
Yes.
I'm trying to assist you.
Now you make mine not to work and then
your team is not working.
The EFS for your power.
That's what I was saying earlier on. But remember, people then thought clarity, and they made some suggestions, and only after a long discussion, then we settled for something. What we are saying is actually what this meeting was intended for, because we had said last week we have discussed these clauses, number formulations, etc., etc. But now matters happen to arise even under the host of items that have been done, you see. And I must accommodate.
Not because someone has
again. Just for a minute, can we attend to this guy?
Mine is waiting.
I'll check it later.
No, yes, I'm here.
Yeah, but the
thing is not working, that they could move it, but they move this connection.
I'll check it, I'm gonna check.
No, it's working. You just when you pull it, then it comes out easy.
Okay, anything on that cross? You know, they were just saying to me, what appears to be cross 2 is now. Because application lawyer is cross 2.
Mm-hmm.
Then, for foreign service, la, we lost 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, anything on this host of issues, la. I'm gonna.
There's no one who's not been part of the discussions of this thing.
Yeah.
I would like to move that.
And
who should adopt this?
The one that works.
Yes, sir, I move that way that is beside this clause.
There's a mover for adoption of clause 3 by Honorable Quarter.
I second.
Honorable Quarter moves to open it by Honorable Lissoma.
I'm sorry because we are confusing you, and I apologize because Honorable Quarter moved and I second, and I'm saying that systematically and logically I have to pass my second so that she can raise her hand and hear what she's saying then so that then she can do it correctly.
You're starting to Honorable Kenya.
Maybe Chairperson, something that is difficult here, maybe if you find a gap, you think that you must raise it, because it's the bill at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Even if you're not here.
Mm.
I'm looking at this clause that talks to foreign service.
Mashavel. She is on the floor. Proceed to Honorable Kenya. No, it's not adopted. There was a mover and then she withdrew the secondment so that we can accommodate the charity that has been sought by Honorable Kenya. It does.
Chairperson, I've been looking at the sentence that talks to the dignitaries.
Okay,
Clause 2, number 5. Well, in second, now as we talk about the exercise, looking at the current rule on page 3,
The original bill.
It says, render for the first service, will remove the intent of the Republic's policy. Then you are left with the sentence that says, render protocol services to designated foreign and national dignitaries. And then we say we must remove dignitaries and put the expert right. That's where.
Allow her to finish, please. Set a Kenya.
Sorry.
abantu vele uzabathala abadeva so
I'm trying to assist. I'm not
no, but you must finish.
Okay.
Okay.
Now that it comes to set F. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. That's a clarity question,
yeah.
Can it then be provided the content advisor?
If members look at the how the after the amendment, how the cross is going to read, if they render protocol services to designated foreign and national dignitaries as prescribed. So I think that's what the owner of the
Moving. You get second and then clarity is sought.
Can I be sure that clause 4 is actually 4 in the new document, but it's 3 on the other?
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Now, the content advisor wants to explain why there's a movement of number.
I don't want to remember.
Look, when we've asked for clarity allowed on our duty, now I say she must explain to the meeting. So she's trying to explain to me. No, just tell the meeting. Now you say no, I've discovered it.
No,
you see,
my question was misunderstood.
Now, clause 4 is referring to requirements for members of foreign service, am I right? Now, you've got 1, 2, and 3. Are we covered there with the things that we said are part of clause 4? The new clause 4, eh? Oh yeah. I'm advised that I should say I need to there's been a change in what number. In fact what we must do is for this new clause, then application of the act you put 2 there. And then the next one where there was 2 you put 3. And then on clause 3 you put 4. And then clause 4 is what is being discussed under requirements for members of foreign service. And the things that we said must be reworked are 1, 2, and 3. I see.
I think the document which is proposed amendment. It's correct as it is. It will refer to the original bill, the process in the original bill, and the amendments that you effected. After that, then you see the new clauses, how they appear, and you even it will also even affect the numbering. So it's what is there on the Indian bill as per the original. So the new one. The one that you're considering now, so it should, so that members can be
together. I was covered by this explanation, members.
Absolutely, Chairperson. If we're not covered and we don't understand that sequential numbering changes, you shouldn't be a legislator.
Okay, anything then on TOS 4? And if there's nothing then...
I know, remember?
Yes. Honorable Italian, no. Honorable Lissoma. Hello?
Yeah, just to avoid the confusion of the numbers, I suggest that when you read those four, you're reading the topic that requirements for members of foreign services. That what constitutes clause four. That will do away with all the
confusion. Because I think the topic is more specific than clause three.
Okay.
Yeah.
Query on
both
sides.
Now let's go to page 4 of the A list, and here it talks about requirements. The one is what is it? Head of requirements for members of foreign service.
Yes.
And if I can just assist a little bit. Everything else was fine. The
read your book to go to
or requirements for members of foreign service. We are fine here, no?
Adopted.
Yeah, I'm on. And I seconded. I noted it in all. For our Kalyan. Hey, okay, as guided by the Deputy Minister, Head of Mission.
I'm just inquiring based on practice on the clause 3, the requirement.
And which topic?
Read the heading.
Requirements for members.
Yeah.
Clause 4 in brackets 2. The head of a national department must in writing notify the DG. In the event a provincial government, because we do have people from provinces sometimes, will that how will that be provided for? In this case, it talks to the national department when an official has to be posted from the foreign economic representative. We do have instances where provinces. As we speak now, the question is, in that instance, and it automatically means no one from a province is it will ever be falling under this, or what was the wow?
Before,
I was going to ask this as well. I
You can come in, but the bus will move on and we'll assist the formulation.
Then the question is, Chair, if you recall earlier on, also it talks about intergovernmental relations and all spheres of government. So automatically, because the question that I was going to ask instead of answering it, I was going to say, what is your suggestion? But also it's being covered, because if you recall, in some of the clauses we see when we're discussing it as well, that where we're talking about three spheres of government and we're saying that to take out three and spheres of government, and it also is covered under the COFTA intergovernmental relations of this way. So it covers that. And then administratively then you can manage it to your counterparts in terms of the unless then you are having a different legal complications that you have that it hinders you to implement that, but we understood intergovernmental relations as it were in terms of the Act talks to that as well. And that is why also in some when we're dealing with the personnel also we even make reference to the Public Service Act. Thank you, Chair. Right.
Honourable Maila.
No, thanks, Chair. I don't know about the municipalities, whether we have but if it's only national department and provincial government, remember a provincial government is equivalent to a national department, because a provincial government is also has a DG responsible for the entire
province.
So I was saying, maybe we could say, notify the Director General of an employee who has approval from that national department or provincial government.
No, the content advisor says, it's under the order. The content advisor, okay, we are actually covered here, and she wants to read that. But it answers directly what the DG was acquiring. And if the DG correctly says, if you mention national, then content advisor also in the changes were affected, it takes care of the sphere of government. No, but she must read it to the meeting. Can you ask it on the page?
I'm looking at page what
page
constitutes
page
foreign service, which is now section 3,
mm-hmm.
The new section 3.
Mm. Under foreign service.
Under foreign service.
A, B, and then there is 2,
yes, I'm looking
and there
at
is 3.
Yeah, I'm looking at 3, 2. Yeah.
Yes, read it.
Read it. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is to assist you.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Unless people from the provinces as the DG.
No, read this one.
The 3-2 says foreign service consists of all South African nations and those persons who are accredited, who serve in a position in the South African nation, including heads of nations and who are accredited the foreign service for a period of time that they hold that position, regardless of whether they are ordinarily employed by the department or by any other national department or appointed on a contractual basis for a fixed period. So I don't know whether people from provinces do not qualify under that.
It can't, because it says national.
Say no,
but it says any other person under control for
Yeah, the fact that it's Fago National, I am assisted DG. DG specifically says, once you mention national, what do you do when the head of a department in a province wants to bring a person into the foreign service by writing to him? I must say, but suggest again.
No.
Put the problem and then suggest.
Any other sphere of government?
No.
No, it
doesn't work, and I don't know. Honorable Chair members, maybe this came to mind. Now let me just give practical example. In Cuba, you have provinces that send students, and I can name them. They then request to send someone there, the mission, to, and you cannot. The person has to be accredited through us. So the issue is, it was just a provocative idea to say, what will we do? And while our colleagues there were just correcting me that if we do anything provincial, the status of the field then changes, etc. Unless in the regulations we then say they should be facilitated through national departments. For example, a person from the Free State who's forwarded to the mission for help can then be facilitated through the DG of National Health to us, so that we don't have to tamper with the law, but in practice we deal with it that way. I was just checking whether after we would have done, because this is regulating what is already there, and now maybe when it comes, it may affect other things that are already there. But if we then agree that, in that instance, the national department will then be the conveyor belt for the purpose of doing that, which then... Yes, but something like that. Then it means we can leave it in this way, but in practice, and then and make sure that we operate it that way.
Thank you, Chair. The mere fact that DG have raised the issue, which means the bills as we are looking at, there's ambiguity, there's no clarity. So you use your own discretion to get there. And the person who is not necessarily with us engaging here would not have that understanding. So I would suggest, Chair, I'm going to page 3. Under the heading of foreign status. 3-2. Chair, if I may not read the whole line, but I'll quickly direct members to go to line 5. Let me count. 51, 52, 53, 54, 55. Line 55. The last word there, where it reads, other...
No, start with regardless.
Okay, which is line 54, Chair. Regardless of whether they are ordinarily employed by the department or by any other sphere of government or appointed, you take out national department. Then
you say here.
Okay. No, I'm suggesting then you respond. Let me continue.
It's
topic foreign service. Clause 3. Chair, point 2. I am saying then the legal will then get worded and packaged in a nice way to address the question that has been raised by the DG. If my suggestion will not address that, okay. And my suggestion, as the chair has directed me to start from the regardless, which is line 54.
No, I'm looking for Kuluma, let me continue so that
Regardless of whether they are ordinarily employed by the department or by any other sphere of government. So which means you omit national department or appointed a on a contractual basis for a fixed period, which that one would not assist the clarity that was seeked in assisting the DG. The legal student chair will assist me. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. That's the subject. This document by Funda was the exact line. We told you that the DM. Thank you very much. Now, again, assisting the legal, starting with the content
advice. I'm certain that what he's going to say is the same thing, but it's better than him.
So the change that is proposed by the DG might change the tagging or the classification.
Yes.
The tagging is just the procedure in the constitution in terms of which the bill is currently being processed.
Mm-hmm.
And this bill is currently changed to 75,
yes.
Meaning that it does not have implications for
constitution.
Yeah. And it does not fall within section 4 of the constitution, which is an area of concurrent legislative So that change that suggestion might change. But to clarify, where do I need to regulate this area? There is a provision in the bill currently to make regulation to deal with the operational issue in the
disease.
It does look like the current formulation in the bill, the provision on the regulation, provides for secondment of the disease.
Yeah.
So
that you don't have to cover.
Clause 3 is covered.
So clause 3 is covered.
Yeah.
Can I hear you?
No, that's what they. You are not asking the DG to give him clarity and sense of comfort that you are covering his concern.
Yes.
We ended up giving him discount because the bill will be refunded. And then we can't pass them.
But he allowed us to adopt them and he comes back.
Just give it now. We want it to be adopted.
Can you stop this dialogue between these two ladies?
I think we can thank Jenna.
Head of mission.
He takes off the cap and changes the cap.
Head of mission.
Head of mission.
And what cost is that?
New 5 years.
Current 5 years.
Yes. Okay. Can I make a confirmation from members? Because these 2 and 4, after we have adopted, we are messing up the approval of per clause and per clause. If you have kept quiet and why the second clause, forgive us, because we are not dealing with this thing for the first time, Chair. Otherwise, we will never have progress.
Yes.
In the English was
No, we're dealing with
head of mission.
Head of mission,
yeah.
Which is plus 5, on the singular
yes.
Thing. Yeah. Whether the issues that were raised last week, we stay with them or we think they are not properly captured. Out of that week.
Okay, apologies for not being here when this was discussed, but in 5.3, B, C, and D, B says may have knowledge and experience in international relations. That's going to make it virtually impossible for the minister or the department in any way to insist that there's experience and knowledge. So to me, it clearly should be a must. But C says may have management skills and experience. Surely a head of a mission must have management skills and experience. I mean, it can't possibly be anything other than a must. D is just me not getting my head around, must reflect broadly the diversity of South Africa. And no one person is going to reflect broadly the diversity of South Africa. Only collectively can we reflect broadly the diversity of South Africa. So I don't understand what that's going to mean in terms of this helping the department make these kind of appointments.
Okay.
Or the president.
Okay, thank you, Honourable Daki. Probably let's, thank you, Honourable Daki. Let's note the hand, but noting what she has raised. Honourable Raputi. Honourable in the quarter, Advocate Amuse Group.
No,
Honourable Maila. Any other hand? Honourable Kenya. Honourable Kay. Mr. DG.
advocate someone that it was Turkey then, so that's just for the benefit of the chair when it comes there. Honorable Raputi,
Okay, on clause 4 on the A list, I agree what is in there. All the heads of mission must be a fit and proper person, may have the knowledge of and experience in international relations, may have management skills and experience, must reflect broadly the diversity of South Africa. The main issue, I think it's very important on the issue of this is about continuous professional development. You know, just wanted to check here, if ever we take level, can you stand up there? Yes, he may have management.
Can you sit down now?
Let them, I want that they must see how handsome he is. He may have the management skill. It not should be a prerequisite, a must. So I'm for what is being proposed on the insertion in the clause. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Nekota.
This thing seems to me, you cannot send somebody to a mission and say may have, they must have the skills, the requisite skills, they must. You can use the word may when you're talking about the composition of the department must reflect the diversity of the population. But that cannot be an individual who can do that. It must be a composition of the staff of a department or a mission. A mission must reflect that. But the word there, I think, must be must, because you send people there with skills. You don't send somebody just because, well, you want to send somebody. If they're going to do some specific work and some jobs, they must have that skill so that they can fulfill the reason why they are sent to sent out to a mission. Otherwise, we will send people that are completely inept and unsuited for the work they're supposed to be doing. I'm sorry you missed my input, Chair. It was very, very enriching.
Thanks very much, Chair. Maybe, Chair, to start with the issue raised by Honorable Tati on 3D. If you read 3, it does not refer to one person. It says all heads of mission. And then D says must reflect broadly the diversity of South Africa. That means it refers to heads of missions in the yeah. So that's how it is. Now, Chair, as you were rightfully saying initially, these matters were discussed last week, and the issue of may and must were vigorously discussed. But I think there is something wrong in the capturing, especially on B. Because what we agreed on last week was may have relevant knowledge and experience, full stop. There was nothing about international relations. That's what the discussion was last week. Thanks.
Sorry? May have
relevant knowledge. So may have relevant knowledge and experience.
And experience, full stop.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll come back to that. Honorable Kenya?
May have.
I think Honorable Mele covered me on that issue of B. But to come to the issue of D, treaty, just to add on saying, the reason why we said, because I was here by that time, the reason why he said that must reflect broadly the diversity of South Africa. We were saying we can't only say racial and also gender reflection. We also concerned about the LGBTI, for example. When we said broadly, let's use the name diversity, broadly diversity of South Africa. I'm sorry, let's have the broadly the diversity of South Africa, not only to confine ourselves to only to China and race. Thank you.
Kalyan?
I'm covered. We spent hours on this clause, and I'm quite happy with the way it is. I don't think that we must die in the woods for must and may. The reality is we're making a bill for future. We're not making a bill for a specific person.
Mm-hmm.
This is not for the president. This is not for the DG or the minister. We're making a bill that's going to have an impact long after we are gone.
From Parliament, you must say from Parliament. Well, I'm going nowhere.
From Parliament in May.
Thank God, Kalyan. DG, can you come last, advocate in Formula 1?
Yes, I much as I agree with the Honorable Mayor. On C, it seems that the experience there is if the person has the relevant knowledge and experience.
My law is on C.
Yes, I'm saying I'm reading on C now. Can't we just remove and skip that on that because that is an experience on that. We have there the relevant knowledge and experience. Now, to be relevant covers quite a number of them. That experience, can we remove that and the experience as well? I'm just suggesting, I think you
Three
A. 3B.
3A says must be fit and proper person, right? Right.
Correct.
Agna issue,
no?
No. O T may have relevant knowledge
and experience.
Full stop. We're agreed to that, no?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
You
will come. We are capturing the discussion of the committee last week. You come and then, no, because it may also arise, we'll see. Then we'll see, Honorable Mpumlwan, and after you have seconded Honorable Maila, we are saying you want us to expand the entire sea. Or what do you want us to expand then?
What am I saying? If we can't expand C, we expand and experience. That's all. It is covered in
B. But well, C now, it says may have management skills
and
experience. May have. Can you read it the way you think you want it?
I was saying that if you don't expand C, you just say, if it's not covered with the relevant, then you say, may have management skills, and then don't have the experience. I say,
may have
between those two. I say B covered, they will say, after that.
May have management skills and end there. Right, yes. Right. Before the committee says it wants to stay with what it has, or did we? There's another member again. A member, Honorable Dudley?
My understanding is that the whole point of this bill was to make sure we do
please,
not...
Please,
your thing is not working, eh?
Honorable...
it's working now.
Oh, Honorable Pomula.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Thank you.
My understanding is
honorable,
that the point of... The point of this law is to
just make sure that people don't read beyond
the thing.
Yeah.
So, my understanding of this, the purpose of this book is to make sure that we don't inadvertently place people who are inept and unable to manage a mission. So now a simple sentence like must have management skills. A school leaver can have management skills, but no experience. And if we, then the department has to have the ability and the authority to be able to exclude a school leaver. So basically, I won't die on the hill of the and the knowledge and experience and whatever, and I understand Mr. Maida's explanation about audits of missions and that being broad. But on C, that is a hill we must die on. A head of mission must have management skills and must have management experience. Why would we send a head of mission somewhere who doesn't have that experience and that ability? It's too horrifying to contemplate.
Are you done?
Yes, sorry, thank you.
No, Nina member, please, I'm going to put it like it. And then DG, then
okay,
and then I'm in the Buya, I'm going to defend
them. DG? Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Okay.
It doesn't work. So, I'll just give feedback. I tried my best. I'll break it maybe.
Move to the other one.
Same apply. Can I try? Let me stand up. So the Honorable Committee once advised us to consult further with the PSCBC, and which we have done. And this, on the very matter here, this is what they really cooperated and understood everything that is about the bill. But their emphasis, which coming from labor component strongly, was that perhaps why shouldn't it be, may have knowledge and understanding rather than experience. We don't look down on experience. They don't say they don't like experience. However, experience can also be a barrier if it is left as it is. And we felt that it was reasonable for them to rather replace experience in international relations, where I will agree with Honorable Maila, but still maintain this one with understanding of. That's what their main input was on this one. And then with management skills, indeed, the same word experience, which in the public sector has been done away with, because not done away with, which is being couched differently on competencies. Perhaps to put it, it will also, if you leave experience in this equation, will then result into the very barrier of entry to those who are not necessarily in management practices, but who have the capacity to head a mission, because they're still ahead of administration in a mission. So just to convey that, the request from the labor component was to say, why don't you replace experience in international relations with knowledge of, because then it kind of helped to bring in line the fact that you may have international relations understanding based on the nature of the work you do currently, because you work in an environment, and it does not make any other to worry. So our view was that because they might want to utilize their network mechanisms, such as in what they've done, they did with the PMA bill, that the component may still want to take this matter forward, etc. We felt it was very positive in them saying understanding rather than experience. I'll not vouch much on the management skills and experience, because that it connotes a different explanation. Thank you.
Honourable Dudley, you want to come back?
Yes, Chair, sorry, just one additional point is qualified audits relate directly to lack of management skills and experience. Whether it's managing your home, managing the school board, or managing, so people have to have that. It's a no-brainer basic. So if we want to continue to have qualified audits, then we can put people at heads of mission who do not have management skills or management experience, or maybe have. So that's all I'm trying to get, the sense that this bill is closely linked to the difficulties that's been experienced that can't be controlled. The only way we can do that is by putting competent people at the head of mission in terms of management. What they know, I have no problem with an understanding of international relations, all of that. That you can pick up and that you can learn. But you can't take someone who's not ready for that management job and put them there. Put them there the next 5 years or 4 years, but not in that 4 years.
Okay. Two clarities have been sought and suggestions made about adding some weapons. Thank you for my responses, man. Your hand was up, Honorable Mpumlana. Honorable Mpumlana, your hand?
Yes.
Yes, you are followed by Marathon and Kalyan. And then Honorable Shabella.
Thank you. First of all, let's get things clarified here. I think DG, Honorable May said, and correctly so, we did not include the international tradition in that group. So that the full thing is that with the decision was actually excluded. Now, you are saying therefore, must put in understanding, may have relevant knowledge and understanding. I think experience is more, to me, better standing alone without that in international religion. I think the labor has read international religion probably when they talk about understanding, because understanding goes on in international religion. So the experience there, if experience will agree, perhaps I think that with relevant knowledge and experience, it covers quite a number of things, said and unsaid. Now, so if you're happy with that, then I think I'm through with that. Secondly, on the question of Honorable Douglas, on this second one, what we discussed is this. But what we talked about was that international relations is a very different animal altogether. For a particular reason, you want somebody who is experienced in water or whatever reason, in a particular country, and that means for a particular reason, who is not necessarily was a manager in that country. This is why we said may, because this is a different category. Certain things are put in there. You look at a particular person for a particular reason in a particular country. You would not send somebody in a Muslim country, for example, who doesn't understand the Muslim, you understand.
Religion,
culture, and so on. You know, you then, that particular person is fit and proper person
that particular person is has got certain experience, but doesn't have that part. It's just flexible, but he's the appropriate person to go to the Muslim church for a certain reason. Now, this is why one of the reasons we put it that way. Not that we're undermining what you say. I think the question of relevant knowledge and experience does cover what you are talking about. Actually, does even cover the question of monetary skill. You look, is he proper, relevant, fit and proper, and so on. But now, he, as I say, that the main put some kind of flexibility for in case there is a need for a person to send.
Arnold Bachmann.
Sure, I think I'm more than covered. It was unfortunate that Honorable Dudley missed the deliberations around this specific item. We also spoke about the fact that you would still have to go to the academy, and you would still have to pass the academy. So there's a check and balance in place to an extent. I think that a glaring inequity that, just to give you an example, you could have a person manage a video store. He could be a teenager because all he has to do is manage a specific video store. That's management skill. If he's got management, unfortunately, it's not going to help the specific. So I think it's covered by the fact that you go through the academy, and that the academy still examines you for fit for purpose.
Thank you. That's one more, Kalyan.
Yeah, just on the same point, that as a safeguard, we said the training should be mandatory, so that people wouldn't just, rock up and take their position. And in that 3 month training, they would get the management experience, how to run a mission. They would be briefed about the policy of the country, and so on and so forth. So I think we've got the safety mechanism in there.
Thank you. Honor Machavela.
All head of mission must be a fit and proper person. They have relevant knowledge of an experience. But it is important that the head of mission must also have that management skill. Very, very important. If she can say that all heads of mission must have management skill, must, we replace this may, must. I think it will solve that.
Because
they must have that management skill. Thank you.
Are they matched? Yes, it's good. I know Dudley, you come back probably for the last time.
Thank you, Chair. I thank you, Mohana, for your explanation. It was helpful, and also Honorable Bergman. But the thing here is, I like the relevant skills and experience thing, but not may. You can't may have relevant skills and experience, you must have relevant skills and experience. So forget the knowledge, forget the anything else, but relevant skills and experience is a must. So however, what you leave out, what you put in is fine, the other stuff can stay there, but must have relevant skills and experience, not a may. So,
yeah, I don't want to say anymore. I want to thank you. There are two more hands.
No. Honorable Lisa Ma.
Sure. Oh, okay. No, it's okay. Let's get this one.
Thank you, Chair. May I make a proposal then, and I would request that you sort whether which one are we supporting, Chair. That would be my request to you. Under the heading Head of Mission, clause 5 in terms of the new numbering, 5 of 3, subheading All Heads of Mission, dash, A, must be fit and proper person. B, may have relevant knowledge and experience in international and wait. Let me read it myself. Don't ask me, you'll come in. B, may have relevant knowledge. C, may have management skills and understanding. Must reflect broadly the diversity of South Africa. I thank you, Chair. That's my proposal.
Any further takers?
Just on B. What do you say? May have relevant knowledge and experience. No, that was my take, but I can always be persuaded. I was saying my take was that in B we must have it, we should have it as may have relevant knowledge and experience.
But if you hear what she's saying, she's familiar with that.
Yeah, I hear it. She ended at knowledge.
May have relevant knowledge. And you were ending there, right?
Yes.
Chair, because let me qualify it. My understanding, but the legal people will also answer to that. In terms of international relations, the bill is about international relations. But also, I would not have a fundamental problem if then the argument says that probably some people who have not read the bill in its totality only in the heads of nations, then I can live with then. To say then, my proposal, Mr. Chair, is saying may have relevant knowledge and stop there. But if the argument then says that some person who does not necessarily know that we are dealing with a head of mission in terms of within the international relations space, I can leave it, can, but the legal people will help me, but without changing what I've said in the beginning, may have relevant knowledge and international relevant knowledge, comma, and international relations without putting experience, Chair. Thank you.
Honourable Kenya.
Thank you, Chair President. I think taking from what Edith has explained to me, because really to remove international relations, he said that we can be challenged even by Netflix, for example. It's annoying because we keep quiet and listen to other people, but sometimes it disturbs when people are talking on the other side. So I think when it is explained about the network, because we have to take a symposium so as to accommodate some other stakeholders so that it is not challenged. Really, that's why also I'm also of the view that let's include international relations in this sentence by saying as the weaker that alluded to. May have knowledge, relevant knowledge on international relations must be added. Because if we leave it as in the charge, maybe that I believe, can you?
Honorable Kalyan, you want to come back? So now I'm going to see that I thought they will come back after all of us have made our. Now you want to come back now?
I guess that's grammar correction.
Let me just say this. People may not get exactly what they want or desire verbatim. So, because I see that we're going to come back many a times because we want that which we are formulating to be the formulation. Now, there's going to be a lot of labyrinth around that. And that's why we must make an input and suggest a formulation. The sentence should, under A or under B, should read this. So that we are clear in understanding the formulation. Just saying as when and as we come back. Kalyan, you wanted to come back. Bumlan, you wanted to come back. And then, advocate, you with your hand was up.
Mine is just to look at A and see if it reads correctly.
Okay.
That's all, the legal people. Is it A fit and proper person or is it B fit and proper person? Just that's all I want to say. I'm in agreement with the other stuff.
I all I'm saying, Honorable Chair, in the case of this thing a lot. And then we came to the, unless there should be a good reason why we move away from the previous one. He said, may have knowledge, may have relevant knowledge and experience. We stood there. And then we went on to say, may have management things and understanding. But unless one can persuade that, at least on the first one on B, we must include now international relations. I think we went through that. And we removed international relations on that. And we covered that. Now, if we are going to go back, then this is what I'm requesting. Secondly, on the other one, may have management skills and understanding. I would agree with that on three and understanding. I think it does cover me. I would not fight with that. But with B, I think let's stick to what we before advocating.
Yes. So that's because I made a proposal which was clear. So if the argument of Honorable Mpunga says that's what we agreed, then I would be comfortable to see to what I think even Honorable Killian was supporting, that what we said when we left, which as Honorable Mpunga is saying, and I'm sure the administration also would agree on that one, because now I remember that's what we mentioned. Yes, thank you. Then just accommodating that weight of management, which we've never discussed, understanding here. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just to be essentially helpful, but I don't know whether that would cover this, so that we can actually, my proposal would be that from a drafting perspective, taking care of committee members is that B and C could be collapsed into one sub B to say relevant knowledge, then I had management skills and an understanding of international relations. Because the DG's input was actually the question of experience that was difficult and the understanding of international relations was more appropriate. So it would say it may have relevant knowledge, comma, management skills, and an understanding of international relations. That might take care of the concerns of the committee members.
Okay.
And then it is a may. May have relevant knowledge, management skills, and an understanding of international relations.
Yes.
No, I would not agree. It's now bringing the international relations by the back door.
No. I don't think so. The whole thing is about international religion. We need not put an emphasis on that. Because you see, when we are making a law, we must be having in mind that should this thing go to court, what do we want to achieve? The first thing they say, what was in the mind of the lawmakers when they were having it? So personally, I think that, as I said, I made an example of a person who is needed for a particular reason, going to a Muslim country. When he goes to that particular, as Honorable Kalyan said, when he goes to that particular 3 month training, whatever you call it, he will then be given the understanding of international. We don't have to legislate on this particular case. And I say that I don't know why we have to bring in this international relations all the time. We've agreed, we discussed this matter on international relations, we've settled that, let it go. Because it's now going to limit. Now we say, can we just leave it as we are. And if you're combining these two, please don't bring back the international relations, personal life with us. Let us stick to those that are there. As it is, B, may have relevant knowledge and experience, C, may have management skills and understanding. Full stop. Because I think let us stick to those things. Otherwise, we are bringing the debate of that day again and again and again. And I think Honorable Kalyan put it very clearly that that training will cover most of the things that were there.
Now there are two more hands coming back. We are not making progress. And there is always a way of making progress. So then I must say something and say how progress can be made in this matter. Now, no, but now, Unezanda is in need.
Okay.
Okay.
Sebastian, there's something funny here. Well, this one relates some of the issues. But I don't know why now he's saying we are married with this one, that we cannot discuss it. That is the problem I'm having. According to what another woman is saying. We discuss these issues, and when we see that there are gaps, we even reformulate. But now on this issue, we are also reformulating it, but now he's having a problem. To me, I think that is why I even said, when I was saying that, we can be even challenged, even by the labor. So that's why I was saying that the labor can challenge and in court also as he. So I think that I have a problem with that. Because really, if we want to make a progress, let's reformulate what we are going to. But if we agree on something, but it's funny that even if we see this, other views, other business views are not taken into consideration. But somebody now is her own, his or her own. Thank you.
Honorable Kalyan, followed by Rafut.
Right. So, Chairperson, we're making a bill for the foreign service. Why are we shying away from using the word international relations? This is what the bill is about, and it's about work in that field. If you want to stop and say, have work experience or have management experience, in what are we doing then? We're not making legislation if we're leaving it open-ended. We must be specific. Some cases you have to prescribe what you want. So I'm saying leave the word international. Why are we tampering with what we agreed to? We spent almost 2 days on this clause itself. This bill is about international relations. It's about foreign service. Why are we shy about saying the word? Leaving it out.
That's my proposal. Leave it as it is.
Honourable Rapporteur?
Chairperson, I think everyone gave their input. It started with me. And I'm of the view that, Chairperson, can you take a ruling here? And what does the lawmakers, what are they saying about it? Make a ruling, and how this thing should be, and then we go forward, we adopt this law. Please, Chair. Because now we are playing with words. We are playing with words, and we are making an appeal on international relations. And on the issue of the foreign one, the issue of must be, he said, no, may have. I even raised that young, knowledgeable gentleman, that he's still young, he can be also be deployed. And he may have those qualifications or the skills or the expertise. So, Chair, the honors is with you. Please, I thank you.
Thank you, Honor Darley.
Thank you, Chair.
Chair, just so that this will reflect as an option, all heads of mission, A, must be fit and proper person, B, may have knowledge in international relations, C, must have relevant skills and experience, and D, must reflect broadly the diversity of South Africa.
So, you see, my observation is that the first thing is that we express a desire that the head of state, the president advised by the minister, and in the case of certain organizations, deployment committees, etc., the choice of the head of the mission is a South African who must represent South Africa, perhaps one in a particular country. And to that extent, you may prefer that because of the political dynamics of that country, this is the person that they're taking there. Sometimes it's a former minister with management skills, but not a specific knowledge of international relations, but can manage in this instance. You deal with that, and that's a specific country. Or you deploy a person because in terms of the dynamics of that area, for example, it could be Latin America or Asia, many of the people there are Muslims, and you would like to deploy or appoint this person so that he or she already has an understanding of what the thinking of the people of that religion are in that country. Three, you may want to say you must be able to choose a woman. Now, yeah, we shied away from racial and gender. We said diversity, because, and correctly so, because the of the phenomenon of the LGBTI, so they must feel accommodated in this. Then there is also the issue of the old and the young. In other words, the women, the disabled, etc. This diversity is, in my view, as broad as that. So in other words, the two more areas. Outside politicians, because I did see that there was a bit of a weakness
of thinking of heads of mission of either as being career diplomats or former MPs or the sitting MPs now. Whatever they are doing now, whether they are chairpersons or they are ministers, deputy ministers, but they are the sitting MPs. We seem to have limited ourselves to that.
Mm-hmm.
But the president or the country may want to choose a person from business. So, you see, the knowledge of international relations may not be mandatory in that instance, Nick, because what you are targeting is that the big thing here is that you want to make business with that country. So your emphasis is more on economic stroke trade diplomacy. But you have an academy that will take care of, because I take it for now that no one is taken either from parliament or from the SOEs or from business, or Patrice Motsepe, I'm sorry to mention, or Patrice, or from business, umthathe raw as they are and throw them into the head of the mission. But on a case-by-case basis, you'll consider a wide range of persons and what consider what national interest you want served. Because when you appoint the head of the mission to a particular country or geographical area, and geographical area, I mean the Americas or the European Union or Africa or Asia, those are geographical areas. But the specific country, you may also want a specific person of a specific gender or a specific religion or a person of a specific experience. And to that extent, within your own nation, you will fish out that person. What normally will happen? A number of names will emerge. And as you discuss, they'll go keep on narrowing down up to that. Now, this discussion was good in my view in that it says, that's why people will say, no experience or management or that. No, all of this being said, the person who appoints will look at the national interest that must be served at that time. Because all countries, are selfish. But there is an expression, an old expression. It says there is no such thing as permanent international relations. There is permanent self-interest. Now, when he or she appoints that time, he or she will look at that. And with all of this, if we were to come to a finality, I would go for the formulations that was brought by Honorable Mpumlwa, and see whether there are many that agree with that. If we agree with that, then it means it becomes a majority view. Then we also record minority views, that so-and-so wanted it this way, we didn't agree, so-and-so wanted it this way, we didn't agree, then we record majority and minority views. Because that's the only way out of this. But I was just saying, generally, many of the words that were thrown in are important. It only depends on why you think you must put a particular emphasis. You see the word must, for instance, it was emphasized last week that when it comes to whether the person may have been met at some point or that time, then you must be a fit and a proper person. But they may, just for your honor, that they may on both B and C arose because people were saying, if you make it a legislative prescription, you are tying the hands of the country from fishing out a talent.
fit for a particular mission. And perhaps let me also bring in this. We are joining Canada and other countries that have legislated on international relations. Ourselves have served very well in international relations without legislation. From 1994 to today, how did we navigate these waters? Or Russia and China, and that's why I wanted to visit them. They don't have legislation. That's why, unfortunately, Parliament didn't have. They are deeply involved in the affairs of the world. They don't have legislation, so they cannot be read. So they look at the issues they deploy and affect. So this flexibility of May and May takes into account all of these things, whether it's LGBTI, women, business, those who are former politicians, sitting politicians, etc., etc. I just thought it was nice listening to all of the inputs. But the only solution is that we may have to record a majority view and what that majority view is and what the minority view is. So I see your hand is up.
For you to know what I'm saying, thank you for the opportunity. Allow me to use the chairperson. I second what Honorable Advocate at my right raised, and the, all the explanation capturing and also giving us logic in terms of the expression and the intention of this law. That I move for the adoption, unless you want me to raise it, but I'm saying in terms of heading, head of mission, clause 5 of 3, as suggested by Honorable Bumlwane, Advocate Bumlwane, I second that, Chair.
Can you read it again?
The originator will read it.
I'm saying they must be read because there's no issue about A and S. The issue is on B and C. And about inclusion of management or retainment of the resolution or experience and or matching the sentence to make it one. And I'd love to see whether you are persuaded to mention the sentence, or if you stay with this, then whether those who have wanted to match the sentences are persuaded to stay with A, B, C, and D. If not, then we record the majority.
The last one, I... Oh yes. Or say the B would be may have relevant knowledge and experience. And C would have
may have relevant knowledge
and experience.
And experience.
I was saying that on
no.
The
no. Just wait there. No, but this is Lima Lama.
Okay. I think Shabbatin, yeah, I accept your ruling. But I'm also agreeing on that. Your input, no? I accepted your input, no? Your explanation. So I think maybe you can accept the Honorable just mentioned.
May have relevant knowledge and experience.
Yeah,
and end there.
Yeah.
See, what did you say, Honorable Pumla?
May have management skills and understanding.
May have management skills and understanding. And someone says of what?
It is I think it relates to management. Or we have a management guilt and we remove the, sorry, understand that. Understanding comes with this. May have relevant skills and experience. That's the one that change which I agreed on to and to take care of what you need yourself, which was the understanding. I'm not sure whether it fits in there. So I'm not married to that.
No, no. Uh-huh. All that honorable I'm speaking for her. All that on Okalian says, if you say understanding, then you must qualify understanding what. So I saw that you were then going back to saying.
So management skills and experience.
May have management skills.
Skills.
And experience. Then you remove understanding.
Yes.
Remember?
No. Now let's hear the other option now. Yes. There are two options.
Where?
Honorable has given here, and then there was a second option combining here.
May have management skills and experience. Okay, what is the other option?
And I want, there was this question of combining. You want me to deal with that as well? There was a proposal.
Committee may have management skills and experience, ne?
Yeah, but they were saying you marry these two because they say the same thing in those words as they
are. Anichi, wana u B, sister Elena. But lapha ku C, ufuna ube firm in this proposal. Yakho uthi may have management skills and experience, then when I hear the member, I mustn't hear you on the same line, on the same thing. I must hear others saying, no, let's rather marry this, and I'm going to come to that, and hear you on whether you get persuaded. But for now, this is the formulation that we are determining. It comes from you, you have originated it. And I'm checking with other members, they may say, no, we don't agree with that at this time. But this is what we are proposing. Remember? Okay? Say park. Then other views on matching the two. Or rather on amending Honorable Mpumlwana's number C.
Thank you, Chabazan. I think A, B is clear, but and D. Then my proposal is C, that instead of may, you must have management skill to stop. Thank you.
I'm sorry to laugh aloud.
A is clear, must be a fit and proper person. Okay?
Yeah.
B may have relevant knowledge and experience. Here.
Mm-hmm.
C must have management skills. Think so.
Yeah. Manje une proposal ikala ngomar. And the pedagogical management skills. Upumbran on a proposal may have management skills
and experience.
And experience the pedagogical lab.
Okay.
But honorable Dudley.
Putting aside the fact that I honestly think that you must have relevant experience, but just to give you a sentence of a merged B and C in the form that you wanted, not smart more.
Okay.
It says,
may have relevant knowledge, skills, and experience done, covers the MC. So, instead of saying may have knowledge and experience in international relations and may have da 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 da, keeping in mind that I would have preferred a must here, but I'm saying because must have been ruled out, then you merge B and C to may have relevant knowledge, skills, and experience.
Yeah, we can do that.
Moja.
It's Moja.
So, meaning that we have A, B, and C, and then
A, B, and C.
A, B, and C is one thing. Yeah. So, B and C are now merged, and they may have relevant knowledge, skills, and experience.
Yes.
Can I hear the member?
I move.
I second. No.
No, I second.
What?
On
the formulation.
Yes. on the issue of, you know, merging all A, B, B and C together.
Okay.
Thank you.
Honor Maila.
No, thanks, Chair. I think I also support the progressive contribution by Honorable Dan. Thank you very much.
Now, I've had Honorable Manokalia. Because this matching came from Honorable Dali of the ACDC, and the two have seconded this matching, which says may have relevant knowledge, skills, and experience. Are you persuaded to this or
yes?
Yeah.
I can live with it. I think the word relevant covers So the word relevant senses of foreign service, the understanding of relevant.
Amashavela?
Yeah, let us adopt close by close and party.
No, what has happened is that with all of the different words, the made and the must, now, the consensus we have now is what people may have relevant knowledge, skills, and experience. And now if I refer to parties, the ACDP, the ANC, and the DA are amenable to the new formulation. But remember, you've spoken about mask. And if you remove that mask, you have a make, the rest, actually 80% of what you want is covered, except the mask. So, that's what it
is. No, let us continue to check that.
Okay. By the majority view.
No,
what does we have SACP and ACDP? Then, Iman, colleague, the mover,
who,
no, my, we have A. And, who, Kalyan, who we have DA, that we can deal with that. Now, already, these three constitute
he might begin to construct a majority rule. Now, that must go now. I'm asking all people to reflect. You can also say you can live with it. Because if you can't live with it, we say it's fine, but we record it as such. But it will be a minority rule. And because we must record what a member stood by inflexibly.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, can you read the formulation we are...
The call of a member.
The formulation, am I right, may have relevant knowledge, skills and experience.
Yes.
Advocate Williams and Tibet. Are you a lawyer?
Yes.
So now that they are collapsed into one, we delete C and D, and it means we've got a new C, a new B, the merged one, and we remain with
D becomes
D becomes C.
Then
look from the lion of Mashallah. Do you know what happens now? The old A remains, and it,
yes,
it is, must be a fit and proper person.
Yes.
Then you take the old B and the old C.
Yes.
You make the, put them together, they become a new B. And they read, may have relevant knowledge, skills and experience. Then the old D becomes a C, and it reads, must reflect broadly the diversity of South Africa. Agreed to?
Agreed.
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 No.
No. We said may have relevant knowledge, skills and experience.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a combined.
Program, then,
Ref.
Well, it must be noted. This one.
Papa did was confirmed that it can rather be all heads of mission must be fit and proper person.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. All.
Can we ever move out now? Now that exhaustive honorable summer? Honorable summer?
Honorable
Mashabela.
Okay.
Your head was not up there.
Okay.
Then the second one is Kenya.
Okay.
One of that man, one of Kenya. I thought you were the human rights break.
Yeah.
I said,
yeah.
And maybe
yeah.
Some of what. So what do we do? People are calling out. We are going to recall of members, or what? Where are we going to?
Okay.
There is a proposal that we go for a 30-minute lunch. Leah, why not talk to us at 1 year?
Okay.
Let's hope the others will be there.
They are.
Okay. Let's have lunch in human rights place up to 1 o'clock. But thanks for your input. Good for South Africa.
We're making history. History's been made.
Those who don't have a dog like this. When will they write paper on the
Exactly.
Thank you. experience at an entry level, which means
I think that's